In a hearing of the Senate Armed Services Committee on Tuesday, Levine had an unusually familiar and friendly audience. Compared with most Pentagon nominees who appear before that panel for confirmation, he has spent the past 20 years as one of the committee's top staff members. So, when asked whether DOD would be able to meet its audit deadline, he said he was offering the same opinion in public that he'd already told many of their members in private.
And I have always been skeptical that the 2017 deadline will be met. We have hundreds of millions of transactions every year, and billions of historic transactions. And an individual taxpayer or a small business may be able to put their receipts in a shoebox and add them up at the end of the year and balance their books. But an entity the size of a Department of Defense simply can't do that. We have to have systems and processes in place that work and that produce good financial information. And when we get those systems and processes in place, it will not only provide us an auditable financial statement, but it will answer that question that Senator Gates had about why he can't get good answers to his questions when he needs to make a decision. I think we've made significant progress, really going back to when Deputy Secretary England took this on as a challenge in about 2005 when he became Deputy Secretary. It's now foreseeable to me that we can get to an auditable financial statement. I just don't believe we'll make it by 2017.
DOD's DCMO is not directly in charge of the department's finances, but the post does play an important role in ensuring the department's business processes can support an audit. Levine says the looming 2017 deadline has helped to influence the cultural changes that have permitted some progress. If his prediction is correct and the deadline comes and goes without a clean opinion, he says Congress needs to carefully think through how to keep the pressure on.
You have to think, okay, so if you get to 2017 and it didn't happen, how do we make sure that the same pressure remains on in 2018 and we don't just say, well, we blew it, now we're going to give up and go home, because we can't afford to do that.
Levine was part of the effort to create the DCMO position in the first place when, in 2008, the Senate committee drafted legislation to establish a new position intended to make sure DOD devoted high-level attention to management shortcomings that Congress felt were leading to cost overruns and, in general, misspent funds. He pointed out that since his nomination comes so late in President Obama's second term, he'll need to work quickly and choose a relative handful of priorities.
If confirmed in the near future, I'll have about a year and a half to work with, and I figure I have to take on some very specific targets to identify five or six priorities to go after. The Deputy Secretary has already asked the DCMO to review the organization of OSD and to look for places where we have redundant or superfluous organizations, and we'll continue that. I have a couple of areas that I want to look at specifically. I think the acquisition decision-making process is incredibly inefficient and has to be improved, and that it not only is too costly, but it slows things down in a way that's counterproductive. I think that the civilian personnel system can be dramatically improved. We need to streamline processes, and we need to look at organizations and make that process more efficient and less costly. There are several others like that, but I think that what I'm going to have to do is to target specific issues and to go after them, and I intend to do that.
On acquisition, Levine said he would not attempt to set policy. That's the job of Congress and DOD's Undersecretary for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics, Frank Kendall. But he says the DCMO can help reform the procedural elements of the acquisition process that add to cost and schedule without bringing any real benefit.
We had a GAO report that the committee received recently that indicates that to get for a program manager of a major program in the department to get a milestone decision can take 2 years and 2,000 man hours. They may have to go to 200 different offices to get their approval. That kind of process where you have to go to all these different offices, the program manager shouldn't have to do that. They're spending all their time briefing people and changing slides to get approval rather than working on the substance of the program. I think that process, without changing the acquisition policy, which this committee will do, the Undersecretary for Acquisition Technology will decide what the policy is, the process can be significantly improved, and I hope to work with Frank Kendall and others in the department to do that.
Levine also pledged to devote a significant proportion of his time to thinning out the ranks of DOD's headquarters organizations, a task the DCMO office has already been assigned by the Deputy Secretary of Defense. He says those organizations must get smaller, not just by shifting responsibilities to lower-level organizations, but by streamlining operations and ceasing some functions altogether.
The Defense Business Board reported earlier this year that that the human resources area is an area where they think that there are significant efficiencies. efficiencies that can be achieved by the department, that it's an area where we have too many layers of management, too many managers with a small span of control. So you have one person, for example, managing three people, and then that person, those people managing five people, that you have too many layers of middle management. And so that's something we're going to have to look at. We're also going to have to look at efficiencies of specific processes. We have a civilian hiring process that I'm told it takes at least 6 months and maybe 8 months or more to hire a single individual to work at the Department of Defense. Well, that's just crazy. You lose some of the most talented individuals you're trying to hire. But I think there's significant improvements also that can be made in the hiring process, and this relates to the issue of sort of too much bureaucracy. If you add in extra layers, then your different human resources offices spend time negotiating with each other instead of getting the job done. And we need to cut out some of those middle boxes and simplify the process.
Levine says DOD also must get a better handle on how it uses service contracts to support its operations across the department. Establishing a system to track spending on contract personnel has been a congressional priority for several years. That system now exists and purports to report the total headcount of people the department employs via contracts.
I checked yesterday and I was told that the number of service contractors we currently have working for the Department of Defense is 629,000. In fact, it wasn't just 629,000, it was 629,000 so many hundred and such. It was a very precise number. The problem, now that I've told you that there is a number, is accuracy, as in with so many of the department systems. Contractors are hard to count, and the universe of contractors is hard to define. Because when you're doing service contracts, we have times when we hire service contracts by the person, and so we have a number of people. You also have places where you hire for a result. Like you have an elevator maintenance contract. You don't care whether you have six people working on it or five. You're contracting to have the elevator operating. And so we have places where it's easier to count and places where it's harder to count. We have different systems of counting in the different military departments. The Army has a system where they go out and they put as a term of all their contracts with service contractors, you have to tell us how many people you have working on it. The other military departments have a conversion factor where they say we're spending this number of dollars, we figure it must be this number of people. So the number sounds very precise, but it's a lot less precise than it sounds because of the techniques that they use to gather that information.
If the full Senate approves his nomination, Levine would be only the second Senate-confirmed deputy chief management officer in the short history of the position. The first, Beth McGrath, retired last year after a long career in DOD's civil service. Levine says he thinks McGrath served the office well, but didn't have the necessary support from the Pentagon's top leadership to be as effective as she could have been. So when he was asked to take the job, Levine says he was initially skeptical.
When the Deputy Secretary, Secretary Work, talked to me about the job and asked me if I would do it, I said, "So you want to make me the most unpopular person in the Pentagon?" And he said, "Yes, and I'll be right there with you." And that was the assurance that I needed, that he understood that what the DCMO has to do is to go into basically other people's rice bowls and tell them they're not doing it right and they need to do it differently. And that's never going to be something that's popular in any organization, and certainly not an organization like the Pentagon. And he understands that that's what the DCMO needs to do, and he said he stands fully behind it and will be absolutely supportive of it.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.